What do you mean I'm no longer enrolled? I stared at the financial aid officer in disbelief. That's impossible. My tuition was paid for the entire year. I'm sorry, Miss Chen, but your father withdrew you last Tuesday. The refund has already been processed to his account. My hands trembled as I pulled out my phone. Dad, what have you done? Now, Jade, don't overreact. Jason needed emergency capital for his tech platform. It's going to revolutionize. You stole my medical school tuition? For Jason's fourth startup? I'm in the middle of finals. It's not stealing when it's family. Besides, medical school was your mother's idea, not yours. Jason's venture will pay off for all of us. I've worked for this my entire life. How could you? You can always go back next year. Family comes first, Jade. Family businesses come first. My dad withdrew me from medical school mid-semester. Used tuition for my brother's fourth failed startup. Hi, I'm Jade. Today, I'm going to tell you my story. But before I continue, please like, share, and subscribe to hear more stories like this. I always knew my father had a favorite child, and it wasn't me. Growing up in our suburban home in California, the dynamic was as predictable as gravity. Jason could do no wrong, and I could never quite measure up. My brother was 3 years older, louder, more charismatic, and, most importantly to my father, male. Dad ran a successful import-export business that he'd built from nothing after immigrating from Taiwan in his 20s. His dream was for Jason to take over someday, expanding the Chen family legacy. The fact that Jason had zero interest in imports or exports didn't matter. In my father's eyes, Jason's every whim was a stroke of genius worth nurturing. Mom was different. A pharmacist with an unwavering belief in education, she saw my meticulous nature, my patience, my fascination with how things worked. "You'd make an excellent doctor," she told me when I was 12, after I'd spent hours researching why our neighbor's cat had died of kidney failure. That seed, planted early, grew into my life's ambition. I worked relentlessly through high school, perfect GPA, science competitions, hospital volunteering, while Jason coasted on charm and my father's connections. Mom proudly displayed my academic awards. Dad barely glanced at them. "Book smarts aren't everything," he'd say. "Jason understands people. That's what builds businesses." When I was accepted to Berkeley for pre-med, Mom beamed with pride. Dad's response: "That's nice. Did you hear Jason's interning at a venture capital firm this summer?" I pushed aside the hurt, focusing instead on excelling. 4 years of undergraduate studies, MCAT preparation, and medical school applications consumed my life. When the acceptance letter from UCSF School of Medicine arrived, one of the top programs in the country, even Dad seemed momentarily impressed. "Maybe you'll become our family doctor," he joked, immediately diminishing my achievement. Mom squeezed my hand under the dinner table. "She'll be whatever kind of doctor she wants to be," she said firmly. 2 months later, Mom was diagnosed with aggressive pancreatic cancer. She fought hard, but declined rapidly. During her final weeks, as I sat by her hospital bed watching residents and attendings work, my resolve to become a doctor only strengthened. "Promise me you'll finish," Mom whispered one night, her once vibrant face now gaunt. "No matter what." "I promise," I vowed, holding her fragile hand. She died 3 days before I was due to start medical school. Dad, lost in his grief, barely acknowledged my departure. Jason, who'd been living in San Francisco attempting to launch his first startup, a food delivery app for exotic cuisines that failed within 6 months, didn't even attend the funeral, claiming he was in the middle of crucial investor meetings. Medical school was everything I'd hoped for, and more demanding than I'd imagined. Anatomy, biochemistry, pathology. I immersed myself in the challenge, partly to honor Mom, partly to escape my grief. My classmate Elena became my closest friend, and Dr. Harrison, our anatomy professor, became a mentor who recognized my potential. "You have exceptional spatial reasoning, Jade," he noted after I'd successfully traced an obscure nerve pathway. "Have you considered surgery as a specialty?" I hadn't, but his encouragement planted the idea. Surgery required precision, focus, and stamina, all qualities I'd cultivated my entire life. I began shadowing surgeons during my limited free time, mesmerized by the choreography of the operating room. Meanwhile, Dad had channeled his grief into supporting Jason's second startup attempt, a cryptocurrency exchange specifically for collecting digital art. This venture lasted almost a year before collapsing amid regulatory issues and Jason's mismanagement. Dad lost nearly $200,000. When I called home during rare breaks, Dad would barely ask about my studies before launching into lengthy updates about Jason's latest business ideas. I learned to keep conversations brief and focused on Dad's health and business, avoiding the disappointment of his disinterest in my life. By my second year of medical school, I'd found my rhythm. My grades were excellent. Dr. Harrison had connected me with research opportunities in cardiothoracic surgery, and I'd even started dating Mark, a third-year resident in emergency medicine who respected my ambition and independence. Then came Jason's third startup, a social media platform exclusively for affluent travelers. This one actually gained moderate traction, enough that Jason convinced Dad to invest most of his retirement savings as bridge funding while they courted major investors. "He just needs runway," Dad explained when I expressed concern during a rare visit home. "That's business terminology. It means..." "I know what runway means, Dad," I interrupted. "I'm concerned about how much you're investing. What if it doesn't work out?" "Your brother knows what he's doing," Dad snapped. "He needs family support, not criticism." 6 months later, Jason's platform collapsed after a larger, established travel site implemented all of his features. Dad lost nearly $500,000, almost his entire retirement fund. I was deep in final preparations for my second year exams when Dad called, sounding uncharacteristically subdued. "Jade, I may need to borrow against your tuition fund," he said without preamble. My heart stuttered. After Mom died, I discovered she'd meticulously saved for my education, establishing a dedicated account that would cover most of my medical school expenses. Dad was the trustee until I turned 30, a detail I hadn't worried about since he'd always been financially responsible with his business. "What? Why?" "Just a temporary measure. The business is facing some cash flow issues after the investment in Jason's company." "Dad, you can't. That's literally my future. Mom set that aside specifically for my education." "Your mother would want to support the whole family," he said, his tone hardening. "It's just a short-term solution." I spent the next hour pleading, explaining the catastrophic impact withdrawing funds mid-semester would have on my education. Eventually, he reluctantly agreed to leave the tuition account intact. "But you should consider a less expensive career path," he added, before hanging up. "Medicine is overrated anyway." I threw myself back into studying, pushing the conversation aside as a momentary crisis averted. 2 weeks later, midway through finals week, I received an urgent email from the financial aid office requesting a meeting. Heart pounding, I rushed across campus between exams, arriving breathless at the administration building. "What do you mean I'm no longer enrolled?" I stared at the financial aid officer in disbelief. "That's impossible. My tuition was paid for the entire year." "I'm sorry, Miss Chen, but your father withdrew you last Tuesday. The refund has already been processed to his account." My hands trembled as I pulled out my phone. "Dad, what have you done?" "Now, Jade, don't overreact. Jason needed emergency capital for his tech platform. It's going to revolutionize." "You stole my medical school tuition? For Jason's fourth startup? I'm in the middle of finals." "It's not stealing when it's family. Besides, medical school was your mother's idea, not yours. Jason's venture will pay off for all of us. I've worked for this my entire life. How could you..." "You can always go back next year. Family comes first, Jade. Family businesses come first." I ended the call and collapsed into a chair, shock giving way to nausea. The financial aid officer, Miss Patel, watched with compassion. "This is unusual," she said carefully. "Did you authorize your father to make this withdrawal?" "No," I whispered. "The account was in his name as trustee, but it was specifically for my education. My mother established it before she died." Miss Patel made some notes. "Given the circumstances, we might be able to work something out. Do you have any documentation about the account's intended purpose?" I didn't, and that realization sent me spiraling further. The next 24 hours passed in a blur of panic. I failed my immunology final, unable to focus through the haze of betrayal. Elena found me in the library at midnight, staring blankly at the same page I'd been on for hours. "Jade, what's happening? You look terrible." Between sobs, I explained the situation. Elena's outrage matched my devastation. "That's theft," she declared. "You need a lawyer, not just the financial aid office." She was right. The next morning, instead of attending my final exam in pathophysiology, I found myself in the office of Sarah Winters, a family law attorney recommended by Mark. "Based on what you've told me, you have a strong case for financial elder abuse of your mother's wishes," Sarah explained after hearing my story. "But these cases can be complex and time-consuming. Meanwhile, your immediate concern is staying in medical school." We developed a two-pronged approach. I would pursue legal action to recover the funds while simultaneously appealing to the medical school for emergency financial aid and working with the dean of students regarding my failed and missed finals. The next weeks were the most grueling of my life. I moved out of my apartment into Elena's cramped studio to save money. I worked nights at a 24-hour pharmacy, leveraging my pre-med knowledge. I met with school administrators, wrote appeals, and gathered every document I could find related to Mom's intentions for my education. Dad refused to take my calls. Jason, when I finally reached him, was incredulous at my anger. "It's just school, Jade. My company is going to be huge. I'll pay for your tuition 10 times over once we close this funding round." "What exactly is your company even doing?" I demanded. "It's a platform that helps influencers monetize their audience through customized cryptocurrency tokens," he explained with practiced smoothness. "That's not a business, Jason. That's buzzwords strung together to sound innovative. You wouldn't understand. You're too linear in your thinking." My attorney filed motions to freeze what remained of the tuition funds and formally document my mother's intentions through affidavits from her colleagues and friends. Meanwhile, through Dr. Harrison's advocacy and my own determination, the medical school allowed me to retake my failed exams and granted emergency financial aid that would cover the next semester. "Your performance before this situation was exemplary," the dean said during our meeting. "We don't want to lose promising physicians over financial difficulties." 3 months after the initial shock, I received the first piece of good news. The court had granted a temporary injunction preventing Dad from spending the remainder of the tuition fund, approximately $45,000 of the original $175,000. The second piece of news came from an unexpected source. Aunt Lynn, Mom's younger sister, who had maintained distance from our family after disagreements with Dad years earlier. "Your mother told me about the account," she revealed during a video call. "I was with her at the bank when she set it up. She made me promise to check that the money went to your education if anything happened to her." Aunt Lynn had emails and text messages from Mom explicitly stating her intentions. This evidence strengthened our case significantly. As the legal proceedings advanced, Jason's fourth startup collapsed spectacularly. Not only did it fail to secure additional funding, but an investigation revealed misrepresentation to initial investors. Dad had poured my tuition and additional business funds, nearly $300,000 total, into a venture that produced nothing but legal troubles. Dad finally called me 6 months after he'd withdrawn me from school, his voice lacking its usual authority. "Jade, we need to discuss this lawsuit. It's creating problems for the family business." "We're past discussion, Dad. You stole from me, from Mom's legacy to me." "I made a mistake," he admitted reluctantly. "But dragging family matters through the courts is disrespectful." "Stealing your daughter's future was disrespectful," I countered. "I'm not dropping the lawsuit." The court ruled in my favor 3 weeks later. Not only was Dad ordered to return the remaining tuition funds, but he was also required to repay the portion he'd given to Jason, plus legal fees. Additionally, Aunt Lynn was appointed as the new trustee of my educational fund. The victory was bittersweet. The legal battle had depleted my energy and focus during a crucial period of my education. I'd managed to stay enrolled, but had fallen behind my original cohort. The stress had also ended my relationship with Mark, who couldn't understand why I didn't just take out loans like everyone else, rather than sue my family. Dad's import-export business already struggling after his retirement fund loss, suffered further during the lawsuit. Longtime clients, hearing rumors of financial impropriety, began taking their business elsewhere. Within a year, he was forced to sell the company he'd built over decades for much less than its previous value. Jason, facing his own legal troubles from the failed startup, moved back into Dad's house. Neither of them contacted me except through attorneys. Aunt Lynn became my unexpected support system. "Your mother would be so proud of you," she told me, "not just for becoming a doctor, but for standing up for yourself." With the recovered funds and additional scholarships I qualified for due to my academic performance, I re-enrolled full-time, determined to complete my degree with distinction. Dr. Harrison continued mentoring me, impressed by my resilience. "Sometimes the greatest lessons in medicine come from our personal challenges," he observed. "You've demonstrated extraordinary grit, Jade. That quality will make you an exceptional surgeon." 3 years later, as I prepared for graduation, I received a letter from Dad. Inside was a newspaper clipping about Jason's newest venture, a modest landscaping business, and a brief note. "Your brother has finally found his path. Perhaps one day, you'll both forgive me." No apology, no acknowledgement of the damage done, just an expectation that time would erase his betrayal. I didn't respond. Instead, I focused on my upcoming surgical residency at Massachusetts General, one of the most prestigious programs in the country. I'd matched in cardiothoracic surgery, the specialty that had captured my interest years earlier. The day before graduation, I visited Mom's grave alone, placing her favorite yellow roses beside the headstone. "I kept my promise," I whispered, "no matter what." Dad attended the ceremony, but sat in the back. We exchanged brief, civil words afterward, the first time we'd spoken face-to-face in almost 4 years. "Your mother would be proud," he said, echoing Aunt Lynn's words but with a different weight. "Yes, she would," I agreed. "She believed in me even when you didn't." He flinched slightly, but offered no apology or explanation. "I'm leaving for Boston next week," I continued. "I don't expect we'll see much of each other. Jade, families should stay connected, despite everything. Despite you stealing my tuition, despite you choosing Jason's doomed ventures over my future, despite you betraying Mom's final wish for me." He had no answer. "Today, I'm halfway through my surgical residency, specializing in pediatric cardiothoracic procedures. My hands, which once trembled with shock and betrayal in the financial aid office, now remain steady as I assist in repairing tiny hearts. Dad's business never recovered. He works part-time as a consultant, a shadow of his former self. Jason's landscaping company provides a modest living, nothing like the tech fortune he'd once envisioned. They occasionally send holiday cards that I don't answer. Aunt Lynn visited last month, bringing old photos of Mom she'd discovered while cleaning out her garage. "She knew you were special," Aunt Lynn told me. "She told me once that your determination reminded her of herself, but that you'd go further than she ever could. The betrayal changed me, hardened me in some ways, strengthened me in others. I learned that some bonds, even blood ones, are conditional, but that doesn't determine your worth or your future. I discovered that resilience isn't just about bouncing back, it's about rebuilding something better from the ruins of what was destroyed. Every time I put on my white coat, I think of Mom's belief in me and my own journey through abandonment to self-reliance. Every successful surgery affirms that my path, though complicated by betrayal, led exactly where I was meant to go. As for Dad and Jason, I don't wish them ill. The natural consequences of their actions, the collapsed business, the diminished reputations, the fractured family, are punishment enough. While they live with the results of their poor choices, I build a future saving lives that would otherwise be lost. Some might call that the best revenge. I call it justice. If your own family betrayed your dreams for someone else's benefit, would you fight back or walk away? And once you've won, how do you decide whether the relationship is worth rebuilding?